The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The days of Sorah were 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. 127 years, these were the years of the life of Sorah. Thomas Sorah be Kiryas Arba, he kept running Beres Kama. And Sorah died in Kiryas Arba, a place called Kiryas Arba, which is Hebron, in Eretz Yisrael. This is in Eretz Kanaan, in Eretz Yisrael. By Yavo Abraham, Lispeit L'Sorah V'Lispeiso. And Abraham came to be Maspeit Sorah. This part of the Sorah is Kesa. This part means to eulogize Sorah and to weep. Vayokam Avraham me'alpanei me'isai rabir al-benei feis le'mor. Vayokam Avraham, and Avraham got up me'alpanei me'isai from the presence of his dead, and he spoke to the b'nei feis le'mor. And he started to negotiate for this piece of land in Kiryas Arba. The piece of land that he was negotiating on, it was Moras Machpelah. He gave him Machpelah. The reason why Abraham wanted Dafke, that piece of land, because he knew this was special. Because here, Adam and Chava, the first man and the first woman, were buried. And this was to be the place where Abraham would bury Sorah. Eventually, Abraham would be buried. Kiryas Arba, it was called the Sipor, the village of four, because there were four couples buried there. Adam and Chava, and Abraham and Sorah, and Yitzchok and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. The Medrash tells us a few interesting points on this Psukim. Firstly, why does it tell us that Sorah lived to 127 years old? Pasuk in Tehillim, Yedei Hashem Yemei Tmimim, V'Nachlosam Le'olam Sihiyah. That Hashem knows the days of the Tmimim. Hashem knows the days of the righteous and those who are perfect. V'Nachlosam Le'olam Sihiyah. And their inheritance shall be forever. Their portion shall be forever. Omer So this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the years of the tzaddikim, of the righteous in the Torah, in order that the years should be remembered forever. Nachlosim la'ilam tiyah. What does it mean that forever their inheritance? States twice in the pasuk Chaye Sorah. It says Vayu Chaye Sorah, that the years of Sorah. Then at the end of the pasuk it says again Shnei Chayei Sorah, the years of Sorah. To tell us Leimaloch Shofoviv Chayim Shel Tzadikim Livnei Hamochon Ve'Elam Hazeh Ve'Elam Habor. To tell us that the days of the Tzadikim, of the righteous, are so dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only are they dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, but even in the next world. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the years of the Tzadikim in the Torah. By Sorah it says how much he lived. Later on in the parasha it says by Abraham how much he lived. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants those years to be remembered forever. By being recorded in the Torah, they are recorded for eternity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions Chaye Sorah twice, the lives of Sorah, the years of Sorah, that they should be remembered in this world and they should be remembered in the next world. These are years. The years of the righteous are not only lived in this world, but these are years which are lived in the next world. Then the Medrash brings a pasuk in Keheles, Keheles Aleph. The pasuk states, pasuk Dalet and Hey, Dor Heilich v'Dor Bo, the Oretz Leilam Ometis. One generation comes, one generation goes, and one generation comes. And the world stands constantly. even though the generation comes and the generation goes, still the world stands. The sun shines and the sun sets. So the Medrash asks, Omer Abadar Babun, do we not know that the sun shines and the sun sets? Kehelis was written by Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. King Solomon was the wisest of all men. What does he have to tell us that the sun shines and the sun sets? This everyone knows. So the Medrash tells us something interesting. Shlomo HaMelech wrote, he did not write that the sun sets and the sun shines, but he wrote first that the sun shines and then the sun sets. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets the light of one righteous person, one great person, set, he brings forth the shine of the new light of another great person. This is why Shlomo HaMelech wrote first that the sun shines and then the sun sets. Before the sun is allowed to set, there is a new light. What does this mean? On the day, the same day that Rabbi Kiva died, right before he died, Rabbeinu, that was Rabbi Yehuda HaKosuv, the one who organized and wrote down all the Mishnah, he was born. Rabbi Yehuda HaKosuv was born right before Rabbi Kiva died, in order that when the light of Rabbi Kiva was taken from the world, first there should be another light in place of it. This is what it means, Zorach HaShemesh Uvor HaShemesh, that the sun shines before it sets. And then the Medrash lists many such cases. Yom Shemesh Rabbeinu, Neid Rebar Barabba. When Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi died, that same day before he died, Rebar Barabba was born. Another great person was born. And it mentions many such cases. Until it brings by Meshe. Actually, Hishkiya Shimshul Shemeshe, Hizriach Shimshul Shem Yeshua. Before the light of Moshe Rabbeinu set, the light of Yeshua was brought forth in the Torah. The greatness of Yeshua prevailed over Israel before Moshe Rabbeinu died. Then the Medrash says, "Actually, Hishkiya Kodesh Baruch Hu Shimshu Shel Sora, Hizriach Shimshu Shel Rivka." Before Sora died, Rivka was born. And the last part of last week's parsha tells us why he acharei advarim ha'ele va'yugel Avram le'emor. When it was told to Avram, he neyolda Rivka gam he boni, and Nochor achicho. And Milka, who was the wife of Avram's brother Nochor, gave birth to children. Eskutz, Eskutz, Kemuel, Keset Chazoi, Pildos, so forth, and Besuel. So Nochor, Avram's brother, gave birth to Besuel. Suel Yolares Rivka. Suel gave birth to Rivka. Then the Torah tells us by Yuchai Sora, that Sora was 127 years old and she died. So the Torah is telling us that before Sora was taken from this world, Kodesh Baruch Hu made sure that Rivka would be born into the world. This is what Shlomo HaMelech meant, Hashemesh, that the Shemesh. Zorach HaShemesh Uvo HaShemesh. The sun shines before the sun is set. Accordingly, this gives us a little interpretation as to the preceding Pasuk in Kehelis. Because the Pasuk right before states, Dor Heilech V'Dor Bor V'Oris Leila Mamedis, that one generation comes and one generation goes, and the world still is in its place. One would think that when the generation dies from the world and has righteous people in it, these righteous people are taken from the world, so the world now should be devastated. The world should collapse. What keeps the world, what sustains the world, what gives the world its continuity? The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow the righteous from one generation to leave the world before he has replaced them. Even though they might not be replaced the same quality, the same quantity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that in some degree they are replaced. That's why Shlomo said that one generation can come, one generation can go, and the world will still be. There's a Gemara that tells us, gives us a little more explanation than this. The Rav Shimon ben Yochai said, that Yisi b'nei Aliyah, lehim u'ot. That he said that I have seen b'nei Aliyah. B'nei Aliyah who are people who labor in their lives to grow spiritually. They labor in their lives to grow in the ways of righteousness, in the ways of Torah mitzvahs. These are b'nei Aliyah. B'nei Aliyah means people who grow, who go upwards. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, this was the Talmud of the Kiddur. He said that I have seen the b'nei Aliyah, but they are very few. Such people are very few who can dedicate their lives to growing in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, growing in Torah's mitzvahs. In the mitzvahs, in the chesed, in stokah, learning Torah, helping others. And I have seen such people, but they are very few. V'chalach shoslan HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol dor v'dor. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them. And instead of bringing them in one generation, he planted them individually in all of the generations. So this means because if they would be in one generation, then if that generation would leave, the world would collapse. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure they would be in each generation. This is why we find the parsha of Rivka preceding the death of Sarah. Medrash tells us another point on this pasuk. Rabbi Kiva Hariyeshi Vedesh. Rabbi Kiva was darshan. He was teaching. But Sibur Misnamne, and he saw that he had lost the attention of the people. People started to slumber and lost their attention. Vikesh L'Aira, he wanted to awake them. Omar, so he said, Marosa Esther Shatimla Chalku Chav Zayin Medina. He said, does anyone know that in what schus, in what power, in what merit, did Esther Hamalka, Esther from the Purim story, that she was able to reign over 127 countries? Elo Tova Esther Shibas Biti Shal Sora Shechoyso Kuv Chai Chav Zayin. Esther, who was the granddaughter, the descendant of Sora, and Sora lived 127 years. Through this she came, and she reigned over 127 medinas, 127 countries. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. And he awakened the people because this is a very strange comparison. Just because Sora lived 127 years, why through this did Esther reign over 127 medinas? Now, somewhat of an explanation in this to help us understand this a little better. So we find that Sora became the wife of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was a king over the entire world. Esther became the wife of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was the king over the entire world. The Gemara in Masechta Megillah says that there were a few individuals that reigned from Misaifa Odom at Sofer, from one end of the world to the other. One of these people, these rare individuals, was Ahasuerus. 127 countries, this the Gemara says, was from one end of the world to the other. And this could only be possible only through a what would be called a Keah Elyon, an eternal power, power given to him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because to become any king, you need a schus. To become a king of an entire world, you need a very special schus. This is like what we say, that the Gemara tells us that when you see a king, you're supposed to make a brocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to him mikvedoy, anesim mikvedoy levos v'dom, that he has given from his honor to flesh and blood. But like we say, we mentioned in the Tfilos, hamamlich melochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives kings power to reign. So if someone is a king over the entire world, you must realize that this is a Keach Elyon, a very high, supreme power that was given to this individual. If Esther was to become his wife, his Malka, his queen, so she also then was to become an individual to reign over the entire world. Now for someone to be a king or a queen, over an entire world, this is of great difficulty. Why? Because a king has to be identified with the people. People must be able to identify with their king. They must be able to follow their king. So to be a king over one country, right, this is understandable. But to be a king over the entire world, there are so many different types of countries and peoples in the world, each one is different from another. So how is it possible that one individual can be identifiable with all of these people? The fact is, the Gemara says, might not be directly related, but the Gemara says that such an element will be in the Melech HaMashiach. When Melech HaMashiach comes, it will be someone that everyone can identify with. At any rate, so Esther must have had this power. The Gemara Masechta Megillah says that Esther, in the Megillah stage, she was called Hadas. He Esther, Hadas. Hadas or he Esther. She was called Hadas. Why? The Gemara says, because this was a name given to her. Because in ways she resembled the Hadassah. Hadassah is one of the plants that we take on Sukkot. It's a myrtle plant. Why? The Gemara says, because the Hadassah is not a long plant, it's not a short plant. It's a medium-sized plant. There's another opinion in the Gemara, that the Hadassah is a pale greenish color. The Gemara says that Esther also was an olive color. Esther was Yerachrokes. She was an olive color. So the Maral explains, what does this mean? Esther had to be of an element, a physical element, of moderation. Something in the middle. Because everyone had to identify with her. All types of people. Therefore, she couldn't be too tall, she couldn't be too short. She couldn't be very dark, she couldn't be very light. And an olive color is a color which is right in the middle of the color scheme. And just like physically she was this way, so did she have such intellectual and spiritual powers that everyone could identify, everyone could hold her as their queen. So this is what is meant, that Esther was queen over 127 Medinas, a queen over the entire world. Now, where did Esther inherit such a power? So the Medrash is telling us that Esther inherited this from Sora. Why? Because we find Sora also was a queen over the entire world. Where do we find this? The end of Parashas Noach. The Torah tells us, Vayikach Avraham v'nocha lehem Moshi. Avraham and his brother Nocha took wives. Avraham took Sarai. And then it refers to Sarai as Yisko. So the Torah calls Sarai two names, Sarai and Yisko. So Ashi tells us, what does Yisko mean? He says a few reasons, a few interpretations. Yisko, Hashem Shesecha Beruach HaKedesh. Yisko means to gaze. She was able to see spiritually. Ruach HaKodesh. She had a spiritual vision. Ushakol Sechen B'yochyo. Everyone would gaze at her beauty. She was so beautiful. All Yisko Losh Nesichus. Now she says Yisko means Nesichus. Nesichus means Malchus. She was a queen. Kimei Soro Losh Nesroro. Just like her name Soro. So she had two names, Soror, which means a queen, means to rule, a tsar, and Yisko, which means Nesichus. This is her name pointed to the fact that she was a queen. Then, Torah tells us, Parshas Lech Lecho, later in Parshas Lech Lecha. that Hashem came to Abraham. This is in Bereshis Yud Zayin Pasuk Tes Vav. Vayev Elokim el Abraham. Sarai ishtefa lo yisikva shmo Sarai ki Sara shmo. Hashem came to Abraham. And he said that I'm going to change Sarah's name. Her name will not be Sarai, but her name will be Sarah. Uberachti Esau. And I will bless her, and I will give you a son from her. And kings of nations shall come out from her. What does it mean that her name was Sarai before and now it's Sarah? So Rashi explains to the Gemara and Brachos. Sarai means my queen. No longer will she be called my queen. But Sorostam Shetei Sora Alakol. She will not be my queen, but she will be the queen of everyone. Originally she was called Sorai, my queen. Before she was Avram's queen. Now I'm changing her name to Soror, where she will be a queen over the entire world. And from her will come out kings of nations. So we see that Sora was not only a queen, but she was a queen over everyone. And this was the way it should have been, because she was married to Abraham, and Abraham was a king. The Torah tells us in Pasuk Dalet and Hey. Ani he named Risi Yitoch by Yisol Ab Hamein Goyim, Vela Yikora Eire Shimcha Avram, Vela Shimcha Avraham, Ki Ab Hamein Goyim Besatiko. That your name shall not be Avram anymore, but your name shall be Avraham. So what's the difference between Avram and Avraham? So Rashi explains. Avram, Avram means that you were the father of Aram. This is the city where Abraham came from, Aram Narayim. So Avram means that he was the father of Aram. Shuhuma came here. Avram was a king in his place. But that's all. Achshav, now you have become Av Lechola Elam. You have become a father to the entire world. Therefore, no longer will we call you Avram, which meant Av Aram Mikema, you were the king of your place, but Avraham, Av Lechol Ha'Elam, you will be a king over the entire world. And also the bracha was given to Avraham that you will be Av Hamein Goyim, you will be a king of a multitude of nations, a father of a multitude of nations. Umelochim Mimcho Yetzayu. And king shall go out from you. And we find that this also in Parshas Lech Lecho, where Abraham fought with the war between the four kings and the five kings. Also in Parshas Lech Lecho and Pasuk Yitzayin states there. After the war, Abraham helped the four kings win the war, the five kings win the war, so they all gathered together in the Emek HaMelech, in the Valley of the King. What does it mean, the Valley of the King? So Rashi tells us, Emek Shohus Fusham Kola Umais. This was the valley where all of the nations came together. Himlichu es Abraham aleha, and they crowned Abraham to be king over them. L'nasiyah l'kim l'kotzim, that he should be the prince of Hashem and the king over them. So we see Abraham was a king. So Abraham was a king, and from becoming a king over his place, he became a king over the entire world. And Sarah was Sarai, she was a queen to Abraham. And from there she became a queen to the entire world. It's interesting to note that when Hashem changed Sora's name, so before it was Sorai, Shin Resh Yud. Later he made it Sora, Shin Resh He. So he took away the Yud, the end of the He. When he changed Abraham's name, he only added a letter. Abraham was Abram, and now it was Abraham. So he only added a letter. But when he changed Sora's name, he took away a letter. So the Yud that he took away, Rashi brings. This Rashi brings in Rashi brings in possible hey. But Sha'af Yud Shal Sora Nisarmal Arashkun. The Yud came to complain to Hashem. Before, the Yud came to complain to Hashem. Because before he was part of Sora's name, it was Shin Resh Yud. Now, it's Shin Resh Hey. He said, what happened to me before? Before my name was this righteous person, and now it's not. So he came to complain. Ah, Sha'isif El Yeshua. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yud and he gave the Yud to Yeshua. Yeshua, who later on was to take over the reins for Moshe Rabbeinu, his name was Hesheya. And when Moshe sent out all the spies to go to spy on the Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to give Yeshua a skus that he should not fall into the council of the spies, the Atzis Maragnis. So it says that Moshe called Hesheya bin Nun Yehoshua. He added a Yud to his name. So this was the Yud. The Torah tells us this is the Yud from Sora's name. Of the Maral and the Gerai explains. The Medrash tells us. He explains to the Medrash that the Yud was the last letter in Sora's name. And now it's becoming the first letter in Yeshua's name. Sorai, the Yud was the last letter in Sora's name. And now it's becoming the first letter in Yeshua's name. Because the Tachlis of the Oreis is the Reishis of the Monim. The ultimate of the Oreis, of the fathers, is the foundation for the children. And the Oreis of Olam, fathers of Israel and of the world, is Abraham and Sora, Yitzchak and Sofak, and Yaakov. So she placed her power in the children. Yeshua drew his power from Sora. Therefore, the last letter of Sora became the first letter of his name. And Sora was Malchus. Sora was the queen of the world. We find Yeshua was a king. Yeshua was the one who became the king of Klal Yisrael after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. He inherited Eretz Yisrael. At any rate, so from all of this we see that Abraham was a king over the entire world. Originally he was a king just over his place where he came from. Then he became a king Av Hamayim Goyim over all of the nations. Sora originally was a queen just to Abraham. Later she became a queen over the entire world. So this is what the Rebbeinu is telling us. If Esther Amalka was to become a queen over the entire world, this is something which is very unusual and takes supreme powers. So with what source, where did she draw such powers from? So it tells us that she ruled over 127 Medinas. She drew this power from Sora, who lived 127 years. This power of Malchus, this power that she was able to reign over the entire world, this she drew from her ancestor, Sora, who also was a queen over the entire world. So this gives us somewhat of an insight as to the greatness of Sora. States, Pasuk states, Vayovai, Avraham nishkoyed the Sarah with the Kosek. And Avraham came to eulogize Sarah and to weep for her. The question is asked, Avraham came. Where was Yitzchak? It's coming time to bury and to be maspid and to weep for Sarah. He said, Yitzchak certainly is also obligated to this. Why isn't Yitzchak mentioned? At the end of the Sedra, the Torah tells us Avraham dies. So there it explicitly states that by Yitzchak, I said Yitzchak and Ishmael Bono. Yitzchak and Ishmael, the sons of Avraham, buried. But here in the whole parsha of the burial of Sarah, doesn't mention anything about Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the son. Where was Yitzchak? Surely if Yitzchak was there, so then the Torah would tell us that Abraham and Yitzchak there. This kasha Rabbeinu Bachai asks. And he says that there's even more reason Yitzchak should have been there. Firstly, Yitzchak was a son. Actually, the obligation of Avelus, of mourning, is greater. It's more incumbent upon a son than upon a husband. A son is obligated in Avelus for 12 months, while a husband is only obligated in Avelus for 30 days. So certainly Yitzchak should have been there. Then the Rabbeinu Bachai adds something else. It says that Yitzchak had a particular great love, an abnormal great love, for his mother Sarah. So certainly he would have been there. Had he known about it, if he was around. Why do we say that Yitzchak had a particular great love for his mother Sarah? He said, because he was born al pi hanes, he was born through a miracle. We spoke about this in our Shabbos. Sarah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Sarah and said that you will give birth to a son, Sarah laughed. She said, how is it possible? She's 90 and Avraham is 100. How is it possible she should give birth? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yipolemi Hashem Dovor, is anything beyond the reach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Even though it's physically impossible, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited to physical possibilities or impossibilities. Yipolemi Hashem Dovor. So Yitzchak was born through a miracle. And this gave him even greater love and greater closeness to his mother. Where did Rabbeinu Bachai see this? It could be, the Torah tells us, the Ramban says this ish, that in our parsha, Yitzchak marries Rivka. Pasuk Samach Zayin, and in Chof Dalet Samach Zayin, by Eho Yitzchok or Ehala, Sora Imay, Yitzchok brought Rivka into the tent of Sora his mother. By Yikaches Rivka Vatila Lisha, and he took Rivka for a wife, by Eho Beho, and he loved her. By Inochim Yitzchok Achre Imay, Yitzchok was comforted after his mother. Now she says that as long as a person's mother is living, so then he finds comfort in his mother. If his mother's not living, he finds comfort in his wife. So see, Yitzchak was comforted after the death of his mother, through Rivka. Now this episode took place 3 years after the death of Rivka, the mother tells us, after the death of Sarah. And it seems that all of this time, Yitzchak was never comforted from the death of his mother. Never able to be comforted. For one reason or the other. And here it mentions that he was comforted through Rivka from the death of his mother. And he loved her. So it seems like there was a great attachment. And only here does the Torah write this. There was a great attachment from Yitzchak to Sarah. And then this attachment he transformed to transmitted to Rivka. At any rate, so we see that there was a very great closeness between Yitzchak and Sarah. So where was Yitzchak when it came time to bury Sarah? This is a kasha Rabbeinu Bachai asks. The Rabbeinu Bachai says a teretz. But the teretz that he says is not, he doesn't bring any proofs of it. I once wrote this question to my Rebbe, or Gifter. He wrote that there's an explicit medrash that tells us what Yitzchak was. At the end of Parshas, by Lilo, at the end of last week's parasha, Abraham took Yitzchak to the Akedah to sacrifice. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malach came, the angel came and said, do not touch Yitzchak. And then the HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Abraham. Ki vorecha vorecho v'arvo arbe zaracho. That I will bless you and I will multiply your seed, ketech v'ashamayim, like the stars of the sky, v'kachol asher aschas hayom, like the dust of the, like the sand which is on the shores of the sea, v'irash zaracha v'shar ha'ivah. And your seed will inherit the gates of the enemies. Then it states, v'yoshev Avraham el ha'or. Avraham returned to the land which he had left at the foot of the mountain. V'yakub v'yir v'yachav el be'ashova, and then he returned. This is what it says in Pasuk Yutes. So it says that Abraham returned. It should say by Yeshua Abraham. They returned because Abraham went up on the mountain with Yitzchak. It states only Abraham returned. So Medrash tells us there. Medrash says Yitzchak Eichanu. Where was Yitzchak? Abraham returned. Where was Yitzchak? Rabun b'shem Rabbonin de Tamon Sholchu Eitzel Shem Lil Meid B'men Torah. From the mountain, Abraham sent Yitzchak to the yeshiva of Shem. Shem was one of the sons of Noach. Noach had three sons. Shem, Kham, and Yefes. Shem was the tzaddik, the righteous one. Shem lived many, many years. In fact, there were 10 generations between Noach and Abraham. So there were 9 generations between Shem and Abraham. You see, Shem was the good. It was last week's parsha by the Lech Lecha, by the war between the 4 kings and the 5 kings. There brings in Malkut Tzedek. This the Gemara says is Shem. Shem had a yeshiva. So Abraham, instead of going back home with Yitzchak, he sent Yitzchak to the yeshiva. Why? Omro. Moshe Yishu Shemisashu Mipalcho Omro Yil Mina Plach Hazei Shashati Eri Demezot Mitach Hashod Eloi. Example that a woman, she owned a little plach, she owned a little village, and from that village she became very, very wealthy. She did business, went from one thing to the other, where she became extremely wealthy. She said that since from this little village came all of my wealth, so therefore I always want to keep it. Kachom Abraham. Same Abraham said. Kol shebol yodi eni el bishvil sheasakti b'tevi mitzvus. Sincere HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has poured on me brochus. Said that my children will be like the stars of the heaven and like the sands of the sea. And all of the nations in the world will be blessed through them. And they will inherit all of the gates of their enemies. Why did all of these brochus come on me? Because I labored in Torah mitzvahs. If all of my riches and all of my brachos came because of Torah mitzvahs, so I do not want the Torah mitzvahs to leave my family ever. Therefore, he sent Yitzchak to the yeshiva of Shem. Sent Yitzchak to the yeshiva of Shem. So Yitzchok was not present at the time Sora died. The Gemara tells us that the death of Sora came almost immediately after the Akedah, after Yitzchok was offered for a sacrifice. So when it came time now to bury Sora, Yitzchok was not here. Yitzchok was in yeshiva learning. And he didn't know about it. He didn't find out about it until much later. Until later on when he came to marry Rivka, which was 3 years later. So Yitzchok was not present. Therefore, there is no mention of Yitzchok when it comes to the burial of Sora. From here, we can take note of the importance and from the early sources of yeshivas. We see that even during the time of Abraham, there were yeshivas. And the Gemara in Duma tells us on that, confess on the base. The Gemara says, Romer of Kamen Barchanim, Yimehen shel Aviseinu leiporshu yeshiv mehem. From the days of our fathers, never were yeshivas separated. Poyu b'mitzrayim yeshivim onem. When they went down to Egypt, they had a yeshiva. Shenem aleich v'asafta zikne Yisrael. So Hashem told Moshe, go and gather up the zekenim, the elders of Israel. Zekenim, the Gemara in the Torah tells us, Zekenim means people who are wise. Go and gather up the wise of Israel. You see, if there was a Zekenim of elders, this means there was a yeshiva. Hoyu b'midbar, when they were in the desert, yeshivim ohem, they had a yeshiva. Shenem al osfam yeshivim mishmizik v'Yisrael. Because Hashem told Moshe in the desert, go gather me 70 Zekenim. And those 70 Zekenim, those were the Sanhedrin. This was Moshe's Sanhedrin. This means that they were sitting in the Nesik Torah. Avraham Avinu Zokim V'yeshiv Yeshiva. Avraham was an elder, and he had a yeshiva, and he sat and learned. It states, Avraham Zokim Bobiyom. Yitzchok Avinu Zokim V'yeshiv Yeshiva. Yitzchok was an elder, he sat and learned. As it states, Vayiki Zokim Yitzchok. Yaakov Avinu Zokim V'yeshiv Yeshiva. Yaakov also was a Zokim, he sat in Yeshiva. As it states, V'eni Yisrael Kovdom Yizaykim. But each one of these, it uses the word Zokim, which means an elder that learned. Eliezer, Eben Abraham. In this week's parsha we learned about Eliezer. This is the servant that he sent to get a wife for Rivka. Eliezer, the slave of Abraham, was a zokin in the Yeshiva Yeshiva. He also was an elder who sat to learn in the Yeshiva. Shnema Vayim Abraham El Avdei Zekan Beisayim. Hameshi B'chol Hashemayim. Abraham tells us in this week's parsha, Abraham tells his servant, Zekan Beisayim, who was the elder over his house. So he calls him an elder. Which means, in Zokim, this means an elder that was learning Torah. Ameshul b'chol ha'shalei, who ruled over everything of Abraham's. What does it mean, ruled over everything of Abraham's? Shemeshul b'teiris rabbi, that he ruled even over the Torah of his master. Hu damesek Eliezer. This is damesek Eliezer. What does this mean? So the Gemara says the word Damesek means Amar Lozer Shedeleu Mashke Miteirosi Shorabe LaAcherim. Damesek means that he drew from the Torah of his rabbi, he drew from the Torah, and he gave it to others. So even Eliezer had a yeshiva where he would learn from the Torah of Abraham, and he would give it to others. Incidentally, the Gemara continues with something here. It's not exactly relevant, but it speaks of Abraham. Omar Rav, Kaim Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula. Rav said that Abraham had fulfilled the entire Torah even before it was given. Shnevar Ekev HaShesham Avraham Mikoyi. And Abraham listened to my voice, to my mitzvahs, and to my Torahs. So the Gemara says, what's the proof from there that he fulfilled all the Torah? Maybe just the seven mitzvahs which the children of Noach have commanded on. The Gemara says that he was commanded also on Mila. So then maybe only eight mitzvahs? So then why does it say mitzvah side with teirosa? My mitzvahs and my teiros. So here it tells us that Abraham fulfilled all of the mitzvahs, all of the Torahs. The Teresh Miksabim, the Teresh Abapeh. So the Gemara says even the laws which the Rabboni were to enact later on in the Sanhedrin, Eid of Tavshilin, Abraham fulfilled. At any rate, so we see that Abraham sent Yitzchak away after the Akedah, the yeshiva. The sources of the yeshivas go way back It says, never were they separated from our fathers. From these psukim, we learn several mitzvahs. We learn a mitzvah, hesped, that when it comes to someone who dies, you see it's a mitzvah to hesped, to speak of it, you rejoice. From Abraham, you know all the sorrow. We live kosher. We learn a mitzvah, we live kosher to weep for the person. Then in December, possibly Arab. After Abraham died, Hashem came to bless Yitzchak, the son. Why did Hashem come to bless Yitzchak after Abraham died? So Rashi tells us, Tanchumi Aveinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to comfort Yitzchak. Birchas Tanchumi. If someone loses Shalom, a close relative, then it's a mitzvah to come and give him brachas of comfort. This is the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, to comfort the mourners. This the Gemara brings, we brought the Gemara many times, Rashi brings from the Gemara and Satan of the Dalit, that it's a mitzvah to emulate the ways of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Menachem Avelim, he comforts the mourners, so what must we comfort the mourners? Where did a Kodesh Baruch Hu comfort the mourners? He went and blessed Yitzchak after Abraham died. So we have several mitzvahs here. One mitzvah of hesped, another mitzvah of bechia, that we should weep, or mourning, and another mitzvah of comfort in the mourners. Let's just take a short look at some of the halachas pertaining to these mitzvahs in the Rambam. The Rambam brings in in Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Avot. A hesped covered a mesu. When a person really rejoices, what is that? Is that to give honor to the dead or to give honor to the live ones? Whose honor, for whose honor are we eulogizing? So this is a question with the Modern Sanhedrin. The Modern Sanhedrin and the Menvov on the days. The Gemara says, when you give hesped, when you eulogize, is this for the sake of the departed one, or is this for the sake of the remaining relatives? The Gemara says, what's the difference? There are several differences. Roma letas bedu la rugam dinami la fukim yorshim. What would happen if the descendants say they don't want a hesped? Relatives say we don't want any hesped. We don't want. It's too difficult for us. We come to bury someone. It's too difficult if you're going to stand, and you're going to speak about him, talk about him. We don't want it. You listen to them out. If it's for their covered, then you would listen to them. If it's for their covered, they could say, we thank you very much, but we don't want it. Person has a right to waive his honor. But if it's for the covet of the dead, then they have no right to interfere. They don't want to listen to their spirit. It's not for your sake, it's for the dead. Another difference would be is what happens if the departed leaves over in his will, or he instructed his descendants, do not make any hespet. I don't want anyone to speak it. He doesn't want anyone to speak it. If it's for the covet of the dead, then you listen to him. He's waving his covet. If it's for the covet of the live, you don't listen to him. Yeah. Well, maybe. This I don't know. But it's something to go into. Mora says another afternoon is that this is something we don't do today usually, but in the days of the Gemara, they used to bring people who were very good at saying hesped. It was an art. Someone was able to, he was able to quote many psukim, many psukim from the Torah, many Gemaras, and he would arouse the people's emotions to cry and to feel the great loss. So they used to bring in maspidi, the Canaanite. And many times they would have to transport them from a different city, so there was a cost involved. So if it's for, there's a question now also, now if the dead person left over money, or he left over property, if it's for the COVID of the dead person, and the descendants do not want to pay for it, we would have a right to go to the inheritance, to the estate, take money from them in order to bring in such a person. But if it's for the COVID of the live people, we could say we don't want to pay for it. So this is what the Gemara goes into this question. So Gemara wants to bring a raya from our parsha. It says, Valyobe Abraham Lispeid Lesora Velif Kesa. Abraham came to be maspi, to Yulad Jai Sora, and to weep for him. Vi Amir Mishum Yikore de Chayehu, Mishum Yikore de Abraham, Mashul Lesora. If you say it was for Abraham's covet, you say it was for Abraham's covet, so then what right did Abraham have to delay the burial of Sora? It's a mitzvah that you must bury immediately. Mitzvah, on the day of death you must bury. You cannot disgrace the departed by leaving them unburied. The Gemara says that's only if you delay the burial in a manner which would be disgraceful. But if you delay the burial for their honor, then you're allowed to. Now Abraham, before he came to Bnei Ches and to negotiate the place of burial, says that Abraham was maspid, he eulogized. So he delayed the burial of Sora. If you say the eulogy is for the sake of Sora, so then he's delaying the burial of Sora for her covet, for her honor, then it would be permissible. But if you say that it was for Abraham's honor, so what right did he have to delay the burial of Sora? So the one says, no, that's not proof. Why? Sora gufa nifalei ki hegidu miyakabu Abraham. You could say, but there's no proof. You could say that really it's for the honor of Abraham. But Sora herself would have been very willing to that her burial be delayed in order that Abraham should have this covet, this honor. So therefore it was not considered disgraceful for Sora. Anyway, the Gemara goes through a whole sugya. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that the hespid is covered hames. Hespid is for the sake of the dead, not for the sake of the life. Therefore, the Rambam says, the fifa kefines ayoshin itin skar mekenin. Therefore, you can force the descendants to pay with their inheritance in order that this hespid should be carried out. And and if the departed one, he himself has instructed that a eulogy should not be held for him. A hespid should be held, that you listen to him. But the yorshim, the descendants, they have no right to it. If the departed one did not give any instructions, this means we must say a hespid. And if now, if the family says no hespedim, they have no right to interfere, because it's for the kovod hames, it's for the honor of the department. Then the Rambam brings out what Sivu Shleik for Enshav. What happens if a person leaves over instructions that he shouldn't be buried? Shouldn't be buried in the earth. This we do not listen to. Why Shakura Mitzvah? Shinema Kovesik Berenu. Because there's a difference between burial and Hesked. Burial is a mitzvah of the Torah. And a person cannot be mevatel, he cannot discard a mitzvah of the Torah. Therefore, you must bury whether he instructs or not instructs. But Hespid is covered. Hespid was given for his honor. He decides to waive his honor, he has a right to. And the Rambam brings several Gemaras here. When it comes to a Chochem, a wise person, a sage, whoever does not fulfill the task properly, he is somewhat lackadaisical in giving a hespit for a wise person in a Ma'arif Yomim. He himself will not live long days. kosher, and someone who does not give proper eulogy to a not kosher, a righteous person, he is fit to be buried alive. Whoever weeps for a righteous person, who guards the tears. So we see the importance of the obligation of Hespid, and this is the source for it is Kinar Pasha. Then the Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel tells us the mitzvah of Menachem Aveilim, the mitzvah to comfort the mourners. Says at the cemetery, the aveli mindim nishmola menachmi. Then it's the mitzvah that people come over to the aveli, to the mourners. They tell him tenokumu min hashemayim, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu should comfort you. Then the avel, the mourner, goes to his house. Bechol yom v'yom yishivu shemei avelus. Every day of the 7 days of avelus, roim b'nei adam menachmi. People come to comfort him. When you come to comfort the mourner, you do not have permission to speak to him until he speaks first. And once he makes a gesture that he would like to be left alone, so then no longer do you have permission to sit by him. In order that you shouldn't become too much of a bother to him. Because a lot of people come. And the purpose of the coming is to comfort him and not to become too much of a bother to him. Akol Chayomin Lame Bifnei Nosi. The Nosi, this was the head of the Sanhedrin. Great sage of Israel, everyone is obligated to get up for him, to stand, chutz mi ovel b'chayim, except an ovel, a mourner, or a sick person. Then the Rambam tells us some one or two important halachos in regards to how should a person look at this. Ain breaking al ha'meis, yes in mishlei shigam. We see by Yivkosa that Abraham wept. So we see it's a mitzvah to weep when a person loses something. The halacha is in Beikin Alameis Yesem Mishnei Shalom. You're not allowed to weep for the dead more than 3 days. In Maspidim Yesem Mishiva. And you're not allowed to eulogize for more than 7 days. This is when it comes to the nation in general. But if it's a Talmud Chochom, then Hakol Lefi Chochmosa, each in accordance to the degree of his wisdom and righteousness. But even the Talmidei Chachomim, in Beichin Aleihem Yesim Mishleishim Yom, you should not weep for them for more than 30 days. How do we know this? Even the great Talmidei Chachomim, that you're allowed to weep for more than 3 days, but not more than 30 days. Shein lo negodlu m'meishe Rabbeinu. Because we have no one greater than Meishe Rabbeinu. Uksi v'ayitamu yimei bechi, evil Meishe. Says that after 30 days, the days of weeping ended. V'chein ein maspidin yeser al shnei nosa chodesh. A regular person, you eulogize for 7 days. You can. A great Talmud Chochem, you can eulogize the entire year, but not more than 12 months. Why? Because ain't none of the Chochma Gordon me Rabbeinu HaKadosh, which name was a Kadosh, but one Nisbah. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, this was the Yehuda Nosi who wrote the Mishnah. We do not have anyone who is greater in wisdom than him. And the Gemara says that they eulogized him for 12 months of Amor. Also, Achochem Shebosh Mos Alachash Nemo Sofetish in safety. That if you hear of a great Talmud Chochem that departs, and you hear about it after 12 months, after it happened, then you do not maspid alone, you do not eulogize alone. So we see there must be a balance here. The person is obligated to weep, is obligated to be maspid, but at the same time there must be the balance. It cannot go without limits. Because the Gemara says that, of course, Baruch Hu says, you're not greater Rachmonim than I am. You're not more compassionate than I am. And if I have decided to take this person from the world, the source of all mercy and compassion comes from me, according to Baruch Hu says. So why are you so broken? Why are you crying? So there must be a balance. So one end, not to be maspid or cry at all. This is an aveira, great aveira. But the other aspect, that where it should be without limitations, this is both a shortcoming in Amunah Bitochen, belief in Hashem. This is also rejecting the deen, rejecting the law of Hashem, rejecting the decree of Hashem. The Rambam says, Al yiskash odem ha'meisi yesem idai. Because the person should not be upset too much over a lost person, a lost relative. Shnema al tivkul meis v'al tenon v'loi. Flema yesem idai shizeh omino v'shalenu. Not more than is the custom of the world. And someone who's metzayin atzmel yesam in agishayim, someone who aggravates himself more than the norm, this is a fool. Elaketzad yasir, so what should he do? Shleishel lebethi, 3 days for weeping, shiva lehespit, 7 days for hespit, shleishim yayim letasporos l'sharach hamishavorim, 30 days for mourning, for the acts of mourning that you're not supposed to take care of, that's so forth. On the other hand, whoever does not mourn like the Chachomim have commanded, this is someone who is ruthless. Anyone who loses a close relative or a close friend, that he has to, at that time, he has to be concerned. He has to be concerned, and he has to search himself. If one of a close group dies, the entire group should be very concerned, and very soul-searching. 3 days, for the first 3 days, you should realize that the sword that has taken this person away, that was a very close person to him, the sword is near him, right over his neck, for the first 3 days. For 3 days until 7 days, it's further away. After 7 days, it's still further away. But he must be very concerned. Because the Midas Hadim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deen, has struck into his vicinity. And this is all that a person should awaken himself. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings deen to the world in order that people should awaken themselves and to search. So we see here that there's a very definite balance that a person must strike. To disregard it completely, this is a blatant blindness to what a Kodesh Baruch Hu does. On the other hand, to become overreactive, is also, therefore, is the balance which Chazal has given us. Just to end on a more sympathetic note, in this parsha also is a chasana. And this is the chasana of Yitzchok and Rivka. And when Eliezer, the servant, goes to find Rivka, when he told Rivka, he said that whichever young girl will come, and I will ask her to give drink to my camels, and she will say that I will give you drink. I'll ask her to give to me drink, and she says that she'll give me drink. She'll give you drink, and I'll give you camels drink also. So then, this is the one that I know will be for my master's son. And one of the prerequisites was that she had to be from Avram's family. He has her checks this all out. And when he gives her gifts, so the gifts that he gives her is Vayikach Avishas, an apostle called Reis Nezim Zor, gave her a gold ring. This was a nose ring. Beka Mishpolei, because Beka Mishpolei weighed a half a shekel. Half a shekel in gold. Shneitz Midim Al Yodeho, gave her two bracelets on her hands, Azor Zahov, each one would weigh 10 shekel. Why did he choose these gifts? So Rashi brings from the Chazal that the ring that he gave her, which was a half a shekel, this was to indicate that there would be a mitzvah of Yisrael of Maxis HaShekel. Yisrael will have the mitzvah when they're in the midbar and they build the Beis HaMikdash once a year to bring a half a shekel of gold. Every person will bring a half a shekel of gold to the Beis HaMikdash. And the two bracelets that he gave her, Shnei Tzmidim Al Yodeho, this was Asor Ezor Mishkolon, 10 shkolim. This was to indicate that Israel will have a mitzvah of Torah. The two tzmidim, these were bracelets that were intertwined, like a rope bracelet. So this is to indicate the two tzmidim, the two luchais, the two tablets that were connected. And 10 shkolim, the 10 commandments, which were written on the two tablets. The question is, why did Eliezer choose this? And he wanted to show her that Israel will have mitzvahs, but why these mitzvahs? The Maral explains in Ovis in Gilai that Yitzchak, we explained before, that there Klal Yisrael has three amudim. It's ala Torah, ala Avodah, ala Gimnis Chasodah. There's Torah and Avodah, this is the service in the Beis HaMikdash, and Gimnis Chasodah, doing the kindness one to another. The Midah of Yitzchak, which we've gone into at length, this was the Midah of Avodah. The whole service of the Beis HaMikdash was built on Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak was the first sacrifice, Yitzchak was offered as a sacrifice to Hashem. So this was Yitzchak. Rivka we see here was Gemilas Chesed. What did Eliezer test Rivka with? The test of Chesed. I'll ask her if she'll give me water. And if she says, I'll give you water, and I'll even give your camels also water, then I know that she's for the house of Abraham. See, she was Gemilas Chesed. From Gemilas Chesed and from Avoda, Gemilas Chesed is a Havod, and Avoda is here, comes Torah. So when he saw that Rivka was Gemilas Chesed, he said, you are from my master's son. Because my master's son, this is Avoda, he is the pillar of Avoda, from the service of the Beis HaMikdash. The two together would create Torah. And that's their son Yaakov. Yaakov was Torah. Stage Yosheva Olim, Yaakov is the one who dwelled in the tent of Torah. This was Torah. So from Rivka would become the nation that would have these mitzvahs. So this is what he indicated to her. And since you are chesed, so from you will come a nation that will have Torah and that will have Avodah. So the Torah was through the two bracelets intertwined together, which were the two, this indicates the two tablets, and the 10 shkolim, which were represented, the ten commandments, and the half a shekel. This was the mitzvah of the Avodah. So Eliezer was indicating that from Rivka should come these brochas when she will marry Yitzchak. These are some of a few points on this mitzvah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66. 226 Broadway, 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.